This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Save big money on your kitchen projects at Menards. We carry everything you need to turn your kitchen dreams into reality. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, get 15% off everything you can fit in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to the pod. This is Fit Happens,
where we sweat, sip, and spill the tea on all things health, fitness, and finding balance in life.
Because as we know, fit happens, and we're your guides, Mackenzie and Tracy.
Let's get into it.
All right, everyone, buckle up, because you're in for a wild ride.
And this is
Fit Happens. I'm Tracy.
And I'm Mackenzie.
And you're watching Disney Channel. John Cena.
Guys, we saw John Cena walking down the street last week.
I wanted to ask him to come take my housework class so bad, but he was in a suit.
That man is a refrigerator of a man.
He's
6'6".
I fear he wasn't ready to do dance cardio to Taylor Swift in his suit.
Slowly ease him into that.
But John Cena, if you listen to Fit Happens, feel free to just swing on by, jump into class.
Come on in.
I'll guest you in anytime.
You're more than welcome to our classes.
So this week, we're going to be chatting about boundaries.
Boundaries for hot girls and how we like to set them in all aspects of our life. Love, work, fitness, relationships. We're here to help you.
Yeah, because Mackenzie's really good at setting boundaries. And I am working on it.
It's a work in progress for us all.
Actually, that was my journal prompt today, was what boundaries do I need to set in my life? And I came up with like 20.
Work in progress.
But first, we're going to chat a little bit about our weekend.
We had interesting weekends all around. You go first.
Well, I went on a date. Yay! Woo! Woo! She did it!
Her husband fall is in full swing. Let's go.
And this date was particularly hilarious for many reasons. So first of all, this person and I used to work together. I no longer work for this organization.
Hello? This establishment.
I don't work at this company anymore, and I haven't for a long time. He also no longer works for this company. So HR,
so this is kosher.
If you're listening, can it.
But also, we recommended having crushes on your coworkers 2 weeks ago. So
yeah, Mackenzie.
By all means.
Mackenzie said to hook up with your coworker. And I just want to say right now, let's clear the rumors. We didn't hook up. Okay.
You know what? Sue me. I have the best advice.
Mackenzie's trying to start rumors right now.
PR crisis loading.
No, I'm literally contacting my publicist as we speak. We're releasing a statement 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Tracy did not hook up with her coworker.
But if.
There was no funny business, only pierogies. So that brings us to the story, which is, okay, yeah, so me and this guy, we used to work together, and everybody at our job knew that I had a crush on this man. Let's call him Work Crush.
Original.
My brain is at a 2% capacity right now. So that's all we're getting. He's work crush. And everybody at work knew that I had a crush on this man except for him. Like, he would walk into a room and everybody would just look at me to, like, watch my reaction of him walking. Get a load of this girl.
Y'all see him? Tracy, y'all see that?
And I just, like, would get so nervous every time I talked to him. It was very, like, high school crush energy. I would be having a full conversation with someone else. He would walk in and all of a sudden I'd forget the English language. He was probably like, this girl's so stupid. But I guess not really, because we went on a date. Anyway, we had this bit because I would order pierogies from this establishment on Uber Eats called Dumplings and Crepes. And I had this fixation on pierogies because I'm neurodivergent and I have fixations. Like, every 2 months I fixate on something else and I'll only order that. It was pierogies for a while. And I was ordering from this place called Dumplings and Crepes, and he was like, have you ever been to Dumplings and Crepes? And I was like, no. I look it up and it doesn't exist. It's definitely a ghost kitchen, right? So I look up on Uber Eats when it's a ghost kitchen. You can see the address of the place. So I look up the address and it's this place called the Russian Samovar. And I walk past it all the time in Midtown because it's in the theater district. So I would walk past it. And I was like, oh my God, it's Dumplings and Crepes. So I would always send him a picture of it every time I passed. And I was like, we have to go. And so we have all these text messages between us of being like, we have to go to get the pierogies. Anyway, we haven't talked in a very long time. He posted kind of like a thirst trap. It's like,
I hate that.
Not really.
Out with him?
No, not really. It was for work, but like, it was a thirst trap for me. Because
wait, what does the thirst trap entail?
Because, okay, so he's a personal trainer. So it was like him doing like the ropes. And it's just like hot.
Okay,
like,
that's
I don't think it was intended to be a thirst trap.
I don't know why I was thinking just like
Ameripic.
Shirtless aura farming.
No, no. No, it was like, I think probably not meant to be a thirst trap. I think it was probably meant to be like a work advertisement.
Right.
But I was like, you trapped me, so that worked. I reply and was like, I don't look like this doing ropes. And he was like, I bet you look better. And I was like, oh, what? It ended with him being like, we need to go get those pierogies. And I was like, when are you free? He's like, this weekend. And I was like, cool, Friday. So we went to the Russian Samovar to get pierogies. Now, important to note, I had never been to the Russian Samovar, so I didn't know what I was in for. Guys, this restaurant is a fever dream. I have never experienced anything like this. He walks in first. He gets us a table. The waiter's like, we have to do shots. He does shots with the waiters before I even get there. Then I get there and they're like, well, first of all, this is like an establishment that like only Russians go to. I'm not Russian, but my ex is Russian and I lived with his family for a bit. And so I really like Russian food and the culture and music. Like, but
I love Russian people.
I'm a big fan of the Russians. Okay. Just... But let it be known, I'm not a big fan of Vladimir Putin. I just feel like I should say that. Okay, anyway. So while they're waiting for me, the waiter's like, oh, the girl that you're meeting up with recommended this place. She must be Russian. And he was like, I don't think she is. And he was like, no, she's got to be Russian. I probably know her. Like, that's the type of place where this is. It's like everybody, like there's regulars and they're all Russian and they all speak Russian and there's only Russian music playing. Anyway, I walk in, I sit down. The waiter was like this super flamboyant gay Russian man. He's like, your aura is incredible. I can tell you're a good person. I'm going to like you. I can't wait to serve you. Let's do a shot. So then we do more shots with the waiter. And then we like order our pierogies. We order our drinks. Then they take away half of the tables in the restaurant and they start like a live music performance. And we're like, oh, like, cool. There's like a violin going. It's so loud because we're trying to like talk. I haven't seen him in a while. And so we're like trying to catch up and we're like yelling over this music. Then, because the live music wasn't enough, a dance troupe comes in and they begin doing like full fucking, like, alcicone turns, floor work, death drops, giant jumps in the air with very low ceilings. This man's head was about to go through the ceiling. And I don't know why, but this performance felt like it went on for 45 minutes. It got to the point where I was like, is this dinner theater? Like, are we not going to be able to talk the entire time? We just turned our chairs around and like started watching for all of it. And I was like, oh, okay, so we're just not going to talk. That's cool. This is a great date spot. Also, it was my idea. So like, what the fuck, Tracy? Like, what's going on? So the performance ends and then our waiter comes over and he was like, obviously we need to do more shots. So then we do more shots with the waiter. And then he's like asking what we thought of the performance. And Work Crush goes, well, you know, Tracy used to be a performer. Like, she's a dancer and she sings. And he was like, she sings? Oh, we have to hear you sing. So he goes up to the pianist and is like, do you know You and I by Lady Gaga?
Oh my God, my go-to karaoke song.
And the pianist is like, no, I only play traditional Russian music. And then they were like, well, we can sync your phone to the Bluetooth and play a karaoke. And I was like, I really don't want to do that for the whole restaurant. Like, everybody else is just enjoying their meals. Then Moon, our waiter, who now has probably done about 10 shots between like our table and the others, he sits down next to me in the booth, starts telling me about like his crush on somebody who works at like his local bodega. And he was like asking me if he should go for it. And I said, you know what? Like, I really think that if you don't tell him how you feel, like, you'll never get what you want. So you gotta put yourself out there. And then he's like, yeah, but I'm married, so I don't know if that's a good idea. And then I was like, uh-oh, now I'm like encouraging my waiter to go cheat on his husband. So anyway, it was really a chaotic evening. That's how I finally went out with my work crush. After 3 years of pining.
So will you see him again?
Like, probably. But maybe I'll pick a different spot.
Fair.
Maybe I'll let him choose.
The most romantic spot.
The thing is, it has the potential to be. It's one of those where, like, the lighting is red. What is it with red lighting?
I don't know.
It's kind of sexy.
It gets you going.
It gets the people going. I could have done without the dancing. I could have done without the men playing instruments that all had receding hairlines and ponytails. That was also a trend of the evening. Everybody had receding hairlines and ponytails. And I don't understand, like, if I were a man with a receding hairline, I'd probably try to hide it, right? Like, I think you can get, like, a haircut, like, a swoopy haircut.
Yeah.
You could also just shave your head. But the ponytail is, like, loud and proud. It's like, my hairline is receding, and I want you to see every inch of it.
And it's just out on display.
No, because my ex has that, too. If you type in...
Wait, I'm gonna out myself.
If you type in the most frustrating hairline in MLB, my ex comes up.
Oh my God.
As one of the like top 10. And they're not wrong. So that was my Friday night. All in all, very chaotic. Oh, I think there was like an eclipse or something.
There must have been. Anyway. One would think there was a retrograde because men are resurfacing from the past for me. Well, first of all, I don't think I've told you this, but I'm going on a date on Thursday with the man you told me not to.
I did know this. Okay, guys, this episode is dropping on Thursday morning, and you have approximately, I don't know, 10 hours to convince Mackenzie to not go on a date with this man. Pitch him.
Okay. Ugh, I can't. I don't know him. I would never pitch a man and be like, absolutely, fuck yeah. Like, we know that's not me. I'm like, no. He's a short king. Have I unpacked this on here? I love a short king just to have a pocket prince and an accessory on my side. I think it's hot to be taller than your man.
You're so mad. I'm just disassociating because I don't agree. I have nothing nice to say, so I'm saying nothing at all.
I haven't even shown you my exchanges with him, but whatever. I'm treating this as like I need to force myself to start going on dates again because I simply haven't all summer. So
I just he's feel just the like warm-up. There's better options.
There's for sure better options. But anyway, speaking of men resurfacing from the past, Stygate Man returned.
Wait, and this is like crazy the way he's tried to slide.
No, it was actually nuts. So I unpacked that on here a few weeks ago. The man that sent me a photo of his sty and decided that was a good thing to send to someone that he was trying to pursue. I think he also listens to this. So if you're listening, that was a choice. That was definitely a choice.
If you're listening, never do that again.
No, never do that. Never do that.
That's freaking weird. You're a freak.
No, it was actually insane. I'm like, not having a res at the bar that you took us to for dinner.
I was willing personally to forgive that one. But yeah, this one I'm
this was Not Stygate. Not Stygate. Unforgivable. I was also on my birthday trip. I was stoned out of my mind. I get this photo with no forewarning from this man. It's literally just his face and he goes, my sty. I look up at my friends. I'm like, am I actually seeing this? Is this real right now? What prompts a man to think Mackenzie will love this? Mackenzie will eat this up. She's gonna eat it up.
See, the funny thing is though, like, I don't know if that were a friend of mine or if that was a guy that I really liked, I might think that was kind of funny.
Would you though? like, would you be honest?
Maybe. I'm trying to think of like any setting where that would be okay.
No, it feels equivalent to taking a picture of your shit in a toilet and sending it to your friend. Like, it feels invasive to the receiver.
I don't...
It's just invasive. So anyway, this man, our last exchange in my phone was me saying, he sent that picture, I didn't respond, and then he goes, hey, are we still on for our plans tomorrow night? I was like, hey, I don't think this is gonna work, but wish you the best. And he was like, no worries, keep up the good vibes. That was the last of it. He calls me on Thursday.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar plant protein bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
9 in the morning. Now, why I answered this, I didn't know
he called you.
Oh, that's his thing. He doesn't like to text.
I thought he called me. Came out of nowhere. Okay.
No, he called me. And I just...
You left that part out.
I did?
Yeah.
Well,
he called me,
of course, as they do. Now, why I picked up, that's a completely different story, but I just was so curious. I'm like, what could you possibly have to say?
Anytime a past flame reaches out, I'll entertain
I'll hear you out. Yeah, like, doesn't mean I'm going to act on it, but yeah. Like, I'm going to hear what you have to say. In the beginning of the workday, I'm like, sir, clock in. He was like, hey, how are you doing? I'm like, I'm fine. What's up? He's like, so my friend and I are starting an event business. And I know you're really into like the house dance scene. You love that kind of vibe. You love that music. I'm going to be sending out a survey asking for people's opinion of what time of day they want events to be. Can you please fill this survey out for me? I go, yeah, for sure. Have a good day. I hang up. He sends me this survey and the chain of texts between me saying, hey, I don't think this is going to work out. And he goes, no worries. Keep up the good vibes. And the next one is a copy paste Google form of, Hey, my friend and I are starting an event business. Can you please fill out this survey? We want to hear from you. The men are not all right. I actually need like a really hard, hard reset.
I don't know what's worse, getting a picture of someone's sty or receiving a Google form from a man that you made out with.
I don't know, but the fact that they both came from the same man is like, it's honestly impressive
work. Yeah, I was going to say, I'm actually a little bit impressed.
No, for sure.
All right, y'all.
Let's lock in.
Let's lock the fuck in. Boundaries 101.
Our favorite, or at least my favorite.
Well, let's chat about why they matter first. So boundaries are an act of self-love, not selfishness. Boundaries are an act of self-love, not selfishness. And I think that there's a common misconception that people have, and this is something that like I've struggled with, where you think boundaries are going to push people away, or setting boundaries will make people think that you don't care. But it's quite the opposite. Like, maintaining boundaries actually help keep your relationships more healthy.
100%. They also demonstrate to yourself and the people around you that you have an extremely high amount of self-respect. And when you're respected, you get the best treatment from people. So they're very important. Without them, it can lead to resentment for people, for jobs, when you're giving and giving and giving yourself without setting those hard lines in the sand of like, this is what I can give and the capacity that I have. And it can also, and I know this has happened for me, where you can start to lose your sense of identity in that giving of everything to everyone
and not pouring back into yourself and saying like, hey, I need to cut this off at a certain point. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And sometimes you don't even realize it as it's happening until like it's over, like until that relationship ends or that friendship ends or you leave that job and you realize like, wow, I gave so much of myself to that thing that I actually completely lost like who I was at my core. And then you have to do this like self-discovery session with yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, why go through that when you can just set healthy boundaries and keep yourself, period. Mm. And keep yourself.
And keep yourself. We're all about keeping yourself at the end of the day.
At the end of the day, if you don't keep yourself, who will?
No, exactly. Boundaries and self-love go hand in hand. And I think in order to have good relationships with everything and everyone around you, that is first and foremost. So with that, let's dive into romantic boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we kind of separated up all the different categories here. So we're going to start with love boundaries. Number one, one of the biggest boundaries that I need to learn is not tolerating inconsistent communication.
See, we're polar opposite in this. We're like, I have an issue with object permanence. And if someone is not reaching out to me consistently, especially if I don't already have a relationship with you and I don't know you well enough yet, if you're not consistently reaching out and like making an effort for our next plans, I will literally forget about you. I'm sorry, I can't. It's so important.
Yeah, whereas like I love a breadcrumber. All you have to do is text me every once in a while, like, hey, or like ask me how my day is. And then you could literally drop off the face of the earth for 2 weeks, but I'll be thinking about you that entire time.
Well, I feel like you also like texting. I hate texting a man, especially if I don't know him well. I'm like, don't waste my time. Like, just make a plan with me. I want to talk to you in person. I don't want a pen pal. Like, I can't.
I feel like for me, when somebody has inconsistent communication, and it always starts as like a trend, right? Like it's like somebody's giving you a lot of attention and you get used to that attention. And then when they get used to you like validating them giving you attention and them having your attention and they understand that like you're kind of in the palm of their hands, they know that they can pull that away from you and that you're still going to be there. And if they take 2 days to text you back, but you text back immediately, like they know that they kind of have control of that situation. And I was listening to a podcast the other day where they were talking about if you have to wonder why somebody is doing something, the answer is actually like right there. You just want the answer to be different.
The answer is also you wondering.
Yeah.
Like if it's not clear, that is
if it's not a hell yes, it's a hell no.
Yeah. Another big one. Saying no and setting a boundary to situationships. If you know that you want commitment.
This is when Mackenzie needs to learn for a chance.
Okay, well, I want to make a very clear distinction between situationships and friends with benefits. I think there is a clear difference. I'm all for a friends with benefits if you know that that's how you've like compartmentalized that person for you. And you have checked in with yourself as long as you know that you have not started to develop feelings. Then if that works for you, that works for you. I think where you need to start, and I need to start setting boundaries, is where the water starts to get muddy and you're like, wait, have I caught feelings? Have I not? What is this dynamic? Again, when you start to like question what this is, that's when I would take a step back. If commitment is something that you're looking for and you're falling into a situationship and you know someone is not giving you what it is you ultimately want, cut it off before it drags out, because it will drag out, because men will love to take advantage of the fact that you're okay with that dynamic. Mm. And I am so guilty of this. But again, friends with benefits, highly recommend if you keep it that way.
See, for me, like, we're a little bit different in this way, but like, I can't separate intimacy from my emotions. The second that I am like intimate with a person, I have feelings for you. Mm-hmm. Like, I cannot separate those things. So even if it's like I'm intentionally going into something, oh, this is a friends with benefits situation, I will like catch feelings and I will care. I will care if you're seeing other people. Like, I just cannot compartmentalize it in that way. And also, I'm just not a person that needs physical intimacy in that way where I'm like, I would rather just like wait it out until there is somebody that I am willing to open my heart to and like invite them into my world in that way. Otherwise, I don't want to mess with that.
Totally. And that all stems from just being self-aware, knowing your own boundaries, mm-hmm. what you can and can't tolerate without it becoming an internal conflict with yourself of like, where do I stand with this guy? Like, yeah. Girl, whatever.
I think it's important to check in with yourself and to be like realistic about what your personal boundaries need to be there. Because, you know, as you just heard, Mackenzie and I are very different in that way. She's able to compartmentalize things in that way. I'm not. And I've tried and I've been like, wow, okay, my friends are able to do this. They're able to like have casual intimacy or like have something where they're not developing feelings. But like, I know myself and I know that that's not how I am. And so that's just something that I'm not willing to mess with because like, I don't want to hurt myself.
Yeah.
I love to hurt my own feelings in a lot of ways, but that is one that I do draw the line at. However, like when it comes to a situationship, quote unquote, and you are seeing somebody that you like see potential in, but it hasn't become exclusive or it hasn't become official, I recommend giving it a 3-month rule, and that is like a hard boundary. And give or take, depending on how often you are seeing this person, but like typically I feel like 3 months into something is when that person will start to get comfortable with the fact that you're not expecting commitment out of them, but they can get what they want out of you.
Yeah.
So if at that 3-month mark, it's not moving along, that is where you set the hard boundary of like, okay, then this is no more.
Totally.
If you are a person that is seeking commitment, if you're a person that is seeking a relationship, and you know that like you're ready for that, and this person obviously isn't going to give it to you, I think the more that you wait out and the more that you wonder why, just like we were saying, like if you have to wonder, cut it.
Yeah. And I think another big piece of this too is getting comfortable with the tough communication with someone when you're first getting to know them. And I think that's one of the best ways to set boundaries from the jump is saying like, hey, this is what I'm looking for. If you're not, totally fine. But like establishing that before the feelings even like really start to kick in is super important with dating. And it can be really tough to like ask those vulnerable questions of like, what are you looking for? What are you looking? But it's so important for your own like self preservation.
I think it's also important to remember that like, I often, when I'm setting boundaries, I'm like, oh, this person's going to think I'm being harsh. This person's going to think that I'm intense. No one thinks that. People respect you when you have boundaries.
Yeah.
For example, like this is a small example, but I'm going to Miami next week. Woohoo! And this man was like, I want to take you out for drinks. And I don't like going out for drinks as a first date just because we've talked about this on the pod, but I feel like it hinders your experience of this person. And so I was like, cool. I don't like to drink on the first date, but we can go to dinner. And even just sending a text like that used to kind of send shivers up my spine because I'm like, oh my God, I'm like asking for what I want. But it's like, no, a man is going to respect that.
Great. It's attractive to men when you say that, mm-hmm. when you have a very clear opinion and express your desires from him, like men want that. They want to be steered in the right direction. And yeah, it just like gains you respect from the jump. So absolutely.
Another boundary, and this is like a huge one of mine, is refusing to shrink yourself to avoid conflict or like minimizing your feelings. In my last relationship, there were a lot of things that upset me, and rightfully so, but I felt like he would have left at any second, and I was like holding on for dear life to this relationship. And so anytime something came up, I felt like I had to minimize my feelings in order to make him stay, because I thought if I stood firm in how upset I was and how he had crossed boundaries of mine and letting him know that I felt disrespected, he would have walked away. And now, you know, hindsight being 2020, then he would have walked away and that yeah. wasn't my person, you know? So I think you really have to respect yourself and your emotions and stand firm in saying, hey, this hurt me. This upset me. I felt disrespected by XYZ. And when I think back on it, I'm like, honestly, he would have respected me for that instead of saying, oh, no, it's okay. It's really not that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. No, it's a big deal. And it's okay that it's a big deal and it's okay to be upset. It's also okay to say, I need a second to process this. Like, table that conversation for like when you're able to deal with your emotions. I think that's like another thing of mine is that I'm always worried like if I table something that like they're never gonna want to talk to me. And again, if they never want to talk to you, then the trash took itself out.
Yeah, so fully. Your boundaries are never going to get in the way of something or someone that is meant for you. It is going to repel the people that are not. So it's just to your advantage to actually know them about yourself and practice them with the people you encounter, because it's just going to weed out
the things that aren't for you quicker and get you to what is. And like, isn't that what we're all looking for at the end of the day? On to our next category, friendship boundaries. Similar vein, but also extremely important.
Okay, so number one is protecting your time and your energy in friendships. And I think this goes in many different ways. Yes, it's about making plans and, you know, occasionally saying no to things so that you can protect your schedule and have a little bit of alone time. It's also knowing when you can like take on other people's hardships. It's hard when you're an empathetic person because it's difficult to empathize without absorbing. And when somebody that I love is going through a hardship, is going through pain, it's really easy to like absorb that and allow that to affect my peace. So just kind of like setting those boundaries, and that can look like a lot of different things. It can look like saying no to hanging out with somebody if it feels particularly draining. It can also mean, I'm not going to answer this text right away. I'm not going to answer this call right away. It can also mean maybe letting them know, like, this feels like a one-sided venting session, and I would like to talk about some of the things that, like, I have going on in my life.
I do find that I'm a really loyal friend, so I think a lot of people throughout my life have come to me for that, like, solace and, like, to vent and feel safe to share things with me. I really enjoy when people come to me with the things going on in their life because I'm so in my head about everything in my own. It's a nice escape to be like experiencing other people's shit for a second and helping them figure it out, to just get out of my own.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Looking away with my own stuff. But like you said, I mean, that can deplete you very quickly if you don't kind of set that like hard line in the sand of like, okay, this is what I have the capacity for. This is helping me in a way from helping you, but this can't be one-sided. It can't just be you are dumping on me at all times and I, you know, leave this conversation like I didn't even get a word in, mm-hmm. or like you don't even know what's new in my life. It's a fine line, but again, that's a boundary that's really important to set with your friends.
Totally. I mean, I have a friend who was going through like a really horrible breakup last year, and I just like completely took it on. Like you said, like I'm a very loyal friend too. People lean on me all the time. This was one where like I allowed it to kind of go to the max, and like when she moved out of her boyfriend's place, like she lived with me for a bit, and I was so involved in their back and forth and like talking to him and talking to her and letting her lean on me and leaving social gatherings so that I could like go home and take care of her if she was having a bad night. And it was really, really draining. And it got to the point where like other friends in my life would ask me what's new, and all I had was like what was going on with her, because that was affecting me. Yeah. So that was what was new with me, because it was how this thing is affecting me, but it had nothing to do with anything in my life. And I felt like that was a moment where I kind of had to like have like a come to Jesus of, I don't want to not be there for my friends when they're going through hardships, but how can I be there in a way where I'm also setting boundaries with myself? And sometimes you kind of have to like script it, especially when it's somebody that you care about very deeply, because you do want to be careful about how you word things and you don't want people to feel unsupported. And I've been the friend too sometimes where like I'm reaching out in a time of need and that person is setting a boundary of like, hey, I don't have the capacity to be here. And it can be really hurtful too, because you feel like abandoned or you feel like you're alone. So figuring out how to navigate that by being like a good person and still showing up, but balancing that with protecting your peace, because there is a way to do both. And I think a lot of it just has to do with delegating time and energy and knowing like, okay, when I hang out with this person, it's going to be an hour of that. And, you know, then knowing how to like decompress after that and walk away from that energy. And people don't need to have access to you all the time either. Yeah. That's like another boundary.
Totally. And that goes along the lines of saying no to plans when you just are at capacity. I'm the queen of saying no to plans when it just doesn't feel good. And I'm also okay with temporarily disappointing people by doing so if it is benefiting me and my mental health at the end of the day to do so. So you always have the permission to put yourself first when it comes to preserving your energy, because it's truly sacred. It is all that we have, and you only have so much of it to give. So it's very important to feed it back to yourself.
And I think that goes hand in hand with what we were saying earlier of like the fear being like, if I'm letting this person down, then it's going to push them away. But if somebody is being pushed away or wants to leave your life because you're setting boundaries and prioritizing your mental health, then it's probably not a person who deserves a prime spot in your life. Another important boundary, I think, with friendships, and this is something that like we've chatted about experiencing in other friendships, is not tolerating passive aggressive comments. Stand firm again if you're feeling disrespected. Do not be afraid to say to somebody like, I didn't appreciate that. And I feel like this happens a lot with girls. And I don't like to say like firmly, somebody is a bad friend, somebody is a bad person or whatever. I think we all, to an extent, have some toxic tendencies. I think we all have our own insecurities and they play out in different ways. And so many times I've been out with like girlfriends and a guy compliments you or something and they'll say like a passive, you have really nice lips. And they're like, oh, she gets filler. Like, you know
I've
what I mean?
Had
like
someone say exactly that to me.
Yeah.
I was in the middle of something completely off topic, like just telling her a story. And she goes, have you gotten your lips done? I was like, what? We were not even speaking about that. Perfect example of it.
Like, yeah. Yeah, and just, you know, little passive aggressive comments like that, or, you know, just putting you down in some way. Because I'm an empathetic person, I always like see from their point of view of like, okay, they're feeling insecure, this is how this is playing out, whatever. But that doesn't mean that you have to accept that treatment. And again, setting a boundary is not going to push away the people who belong in your life. And there's nothing wrong with being like, hey, I didn't really think that was cool. I didn't like the way that you said that. That made me feel disrespected. That made me feel uncomfortable. And I would appreciate if we could uplift each other a little bit more.
Yeah. Because at the end of the day, like, nothing's wrong if someone hasn't expressed that something's wrong. So for people to be sending passive aggressive comments your way without expressing that something's wrong, that's not fair. And you need to make that clear of like, hey, I didn't appreciate this. And also be okay with pulling back your energy from that person. I've had to do that several times throughout my 20s. And that's also just a part of, I feel like growing up is like, you're going to have people kind of fizzle because you notice those things.
Yeah.
And you just take a healthy step back.
Well, and something we've chatted about a lot recently is this idea of friendship buckets. And I think like when you're in your early 20s, especially when you're like in college or shortly after college, your friends are kind of in all of your buckets, right? Because your friends at school are like your friends at school. They're also like your best friends that you lean on. They're also like the people that you go out with. They're also like the people that you work with. And even, you know, shortly after you move to a new city, same thing. Like your work friends are probably the first people that you're meeting in a new city. And those are also the people that you're going out with and also the people that you're venting to. And as you get older, you start to realize that friendships belong more in like different buckets, and you have your coworker friends and you have your friends that you lean on that are your true blue friends that you know you can rely on emotionally. And you have your fun going out activity friends. You might have your workout friends. You might have the friends of your boyfriend or, you know, whatever that is, like all these different buckets. There are some people, for me, Mackenzie is one that falls into many buckets because she is my coworker. She is my best friend that I know I can count on. She is also somebody that I go out with. So people can fall into many different ones, but they don't have to. And I think more often than not, they don't. And that's okay. But when you know what to expect out of a friendship, you're way less likely to be disappointed by that person. And also the buckets can shift. I've had friends that have been people that I've relied on that I also have a really fun time going out with. And then I suddenly realized that maybe I can't actually count on this person. Maybe I can't trust this person in the way that I thought I could. And that doesn't mean the friendship has to go away, but it just means I'm prioritizing them in a different way. And okay, we can still go out and we can still have a fun time. And I still enjoy this person's company, but maybe I'm not telling them everything about my life. Maybe this isn't the person that I'm going to call when I need somebody to talk to. And that's okay. It's okay for it to shift and it can go back and forth. But I think like that is a really big thing in setting boundaries and friendships, is just like knowing where that person lies in your life.
Yeah, totally. And also being okay with where you fall in other people's lives and not expecting them to show up in every single way for you. You might just be in the coworker bucket. You may just be in the going out bucket for someone, and know that it's the same. It's reciprocated on their side. They have their own personal buckets that they put people into in their life. And that's just a part of becoming an adult. We all have so many obligations and responsibilities that we only have so much to give to our friends, unfortunately, and everything at the end of the day. So yeah, being okay with that dynamic changing with the people in your life, especially your friends, is really important to also just stay like sane and not feel like people are doing things to hurt you. I always like to lead with like, this person isn't doing it to hurt me. It is just how they are showing up, unless they prove otherwise, which cut boundary.
Period. All right, let's move into work boundaries.
Oh boy, woo! Our favorite.
Okay, one that I journaled about today that is something I want to try to implement is, not only we wrote here not answering emails and texts at all hours, setting aside like literal response times of like, I will answer work-related emails, calls, texts from the hours of X to Y. And after that, I cannot be reached. And that is, for me, I know like, Kenz, you work a corporate job, so it's a little bit different because you do have a little bit more of like a true schedule. I feel like when you're freelancing, you know, I work at many studios and I have private clients, it's a little bit more like I don't have a set schedule, right? So like a client texts me at 10:30 at night and it's hard to like not respond to that. Yeah. And obviously, you know, there's exceptions if somebody's like texting me to cancel or reschedule or something. But like setting that firm boundary with yourself so that you don't feel like you're always on. Because as I was journaling about this today, I was like, oh, I feel like I'm just always working because I'm always available to be reached by my managers for like content stuff and like brands that email me, and by my clients and by the bosses that I work for at the studios that I teach at. And, you know, just being a little bit more firm of like, okay, it is past 9 p.m. I will get to this tomorrow morning. And I'm not letting anyone down by like giving myself an evening to unwind and like not respond to this. And obviously, like I said, emergencies come up. If there's like a last minute coverage thing or, you know, whatever, then like, yes, respond. But overall, if somebody's like asking a question of you that is work related and it's in the evening or even like first thing in the morning, you know, a 6 a.m., a 7 a.m. text, like I will get to this after I have my cup of coffee. Don't let it disturb your peace.
100%. I feel like it's very, very important to get comfortable with this when you do work several jobs or freelancing or working for yourself, because you can just be working around the clock. That is actually one thing that I really, really appreciate about my full-time corporate job, is that I clock out. I clock in. I'm very much present with that work in the hours that I'm working on it. And then it's done. It's out of sight. It's out of mind. But yeah, similar situation with fitness for me. It can be something that if you don't set those boundaries, the lines can get blurred of like, when are my work hours? So yeah, setting very firm boundaries there, but also remembering that we're not saving lives. So nothing is as urgent as people will lead you to believe, both in the corporate world, fitness world, whatever it is you do, unless you're a nurse, of course, you're actually saving lives. Clock in.
And you know what? Thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service.
Although I like to say I'm an essential worker, because when girls are heartbroken about shitty men, they come and take my class. And
that's essential.
That's got to count for something, yeah. You know? Just kidding. But no, I think along with that, like also respecting your off days, yes. Letting your off days and vacation time like actually be that, because we all need time to completely reset.
I had My manager asked me when I was going to Paris in the spring, he was like, so what does your work situation look like when you take time off? Like, I know some people, because I work in sales, and you're never like fully clocked out of sales because you're always, you know, accountable for your quota. He was like, what do you like to do on vacations? Will you be like checking occasionally? I'm like, no, I'm fully on vacation. I take that time to fully reset. You will not hear from me. It's very important to do that. I feel like it is easier with a corporate job to do so. But yeah, respecting your off days when,
yeah,
with whatever it is you do.
And also ultimately for, you know, your bosses and your coworkers and your clients and whoever, they should know that like you're going to show up better when you come back, when you have that time to like completely reset. You're going to be a better version of yourself. And it's just, you know, all around.
It's how you don't burn out.
Net positive.
Oh. Yeah, I feel like another important boundary, especially with work, is advocating for yourself and speaking up when you feel like something is unfair, whether it's pay, whether it's your schedule, whether you feel like a certain aspect of your job is a little bit too controlling or whatever it may be, or someone's not treating you fairly within the workplace. I've had to bring people up at HR that have treated me horribly at past companies, and it's not comfortable by any means, but it's so important because that impacts your mental health is when people are treating you unfairly. So
yeah. And on the flip side too, like if you want something, to speak up for yes. yourself in that respect too. Like if you're wanting more opportunities, if you're interested in working in a different department or getting a promotion or taking on more responsibility in some respect, like absolutely speak up for yourself, because nobody's gonna know that you want those things unless you say it. You have to ask for what you want or you'll never receive it.
Totally.
Just like I told Moon, my waiter.
Ask and you shall receive. All right, next on our list, and the premise
fitness
of this
and
show.
Wellness, baby.
Fitness and wellness.
Very on brand.
Had to round out here. So first, and I feel like we've discussed this plenty on the pod, is saying no to overexertion, overtraining, and also overdoing it on anything food related and diet pressure. Slow nod to that.
You know, I've mentioned this before. I'm training for a marathon right now. This is something that I'm like absolutely falling victim to because I teach fitness for a living. I literally work out.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter. Hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
For a living, but I'm also training for something. I'm learning to set boundaries in interesting ways. And like, if my marathon training is like a non-negotiable, if I'm like, if I really need to like get those miles in that day, then like maybe that means I'm showing up in a different way to my classes. And that's not meaning that I'm showing up less or that I'm teaching a bad class, but just like giving more energy vocally and like less energy physically, or, you know, whatever that is. And sometimes like if I know I'm like teaching a double or whatever, then that again, that means the priorities are shifting with my running. Also means like if my friends are doing a fun activity, I have to set a boundary with how I am exerting myself so that I don't burn out or hurt myself.
Another important one is setting boundaries with your time so that workouts continue to feel fun and not forced. Because what is the fun in a forced exercise?
There's nothing worse than like dreading your workout. Yeah. Like waking up and dreading it.
There's too many forms of exercise and different kinds of workout classes for you to go to have it be something you don't enjoy.
I always say when I'm teaching, like, I want this to be the best part of your day.
Yeah. That's also the most fulfilling part of teaching, is knowing that it is a lot of, and like mine as a client, it's the best part of your day.
I think also like checking in with yourself too about if you are waking up and completely dreading the thought of going to your workout, maybe that's time to check in and be like, is this a workout that I want to be going to? Is there something else I would rather be doing? Is there a different time? Maybe I'm not a morning workout person. Maybe I'd rather do this after my work day. Continuing to check in with yourself so that, again, protecting your peace in a different way.
Yeah, this is something I'm really focused on right now, is setting boundaries towards the things that fill my cup with joy and fun and happiness, because that is genuinely all that matters at the end of the day. So focusing on that with your workouts too.
I think also like kind of going hand in hand with some of the stuff we've been talking about, listening to your body instead of this like hustle culture. There's this idea of just always moving and like working out every single day, and sometimes your body can't handle it. And that's okay. Like if I wake up and, you know, like even if I know I'm like supposed to get a long run in that day, like on my training app, and that is like what I'm supposed to do that day. If I wake up and my calves are tight and my body feels tired and I'm feeling like achy and miserable, I'm not gonna force myself to push myself, because I think there's a difference between challenging yourself and then like putting yourself at risk of injury, frankly. And there's nothing wrong with listening to your body and being like, you know what, not today. Because again, similarly to taking that vacation time, like taking your rest days is going to allow you to come back stronger and more productive to your workouts the next day. And there's nothing wrong with taking an unplanned rest day.
Yeah, you can't in any respect, but especially in fitness, always be on this upward trajectory of like, I'm getting fitter, I'm getting fitter, I'm getting stronger, stronger, stronger. Like, you have to take these little plateaus to give your body a chance to, like, reset to then continue going somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, super important to listen to your body.
Another way that I like to protect my peace, like, just delving a little bit into social media comparison, unfollowing fitness creators who trigger you. For me, that's anyone who talks too much about what they're eating. Mm-hmm. During the day, that's really triggering for me. And I have some friends in the fitness space who are like that. And like the mute button's right there. You don't have to completely unfollow somebody or block an account, but like mute them. If it's somebody that you don't know, if it's just a creator that you follow and their content is making you feel bad about yourself, like unfollow, click not interested. You don't need to be consuming content that makes you feel bad about yourself. And then kind of like rounding this out with some general boundaries in like daily life, a big one, digital boundaries, limiting screen time. I'm trying to make it so that I don't touch my phone before I leave my apartment.
Wait, same. I'm doing that too, yeah.
Okay, because for me, like, I get ready after my morning walk because I walk my dog first thing in the morning. So, like, my feet hit the floor, I'm brushing my teeth, and then I'm putting her harness on and taking her out. So really, that's like the first 15 minutes of my day before I leave the apartment. And there's no reason that I need to be sitting in bed doom scrolling. And then if the first experience that I have being awake is being outside and breathing fresh air and being with my dog, and then I can come in and have my coffee and check my phone and whatever, I just feel like it's such a more peaceful start to the day.
That is also really important for nervous system regulation and dopamine regulation. If you like start your day scrolling, it feels horrible when I do that. I'm like, okay, I've completely fucked myself for the rest of the day when that is the case. That first 30 minutes to an hour of your day is so, so important to like set the tone for the rest of it. So boundaries with screen time. I need to be better about this in the evenings because I doom scroll at night.
Yeah, so I'm like back into my reading era. So like reading a book before bed instead of doom scrolling.
Girls are hot.
Period. I also think another digital boundary, not answering texts immediately. I'm trying to be better about this one because I see something and I want to reply immediately just so that the notification goes away and I don't forget to reply. But not everything deserves an immediate response. And sometimes then, you know, somebody's like asking to make a plan or something, and then I'm like scrambling in my head, just table it. Yeah. As long as you're like setting a reminder or like maybe leaving the text on read, not everybody deserves an immediate response, especially if they're a man that's not responding to you right away.
Yeah, I usually use my lunches as time to do that, unless it's something urgent before lunch. But if it's something that can wait, like using my meals to take time to respond to people. But I'm also someone who like wants it gone quickly. Otherwise I get anxious with like backlog of people I need to reach out to.
Oh my God. So we were in an Uber and my phone connected to the CarPlay And Kenzie was looking at the screen and it said that this man had over 1,000 unread text messages. And she was like, oh my God, he has over 1,000 unread text messages. Like, he's a wanted man. And I was like, Mackenzie, that's my phone.
My girl.
It's my phone linked. I have over 1,000 unread text messages.
That would literally send me spiraling into the abyss. I can't imagine.
I'm going to take a day over this next week to
full
reset.
Day off.
To reset all of my texts and emails. Another little like daily general category is family boundaries. And I think this is a huge one. Honestly, it could be its own episode, but yeah. Not oversharing with your family if it invites judgment. And that doesn't mean lying. But it just means, like, not everyone deserves access to everything that you have going on. And honestly, that goes beyond family, too. Like, move in silence a little bit more. Like,
yeah.
Maybe don't share all of your dreams and all of your struggles and, you know, the day-to-day feelings and emotions and who's done what to you and all of these things. Like, not everybody needs to know all of it because, it does invite judgment and it does invite unwarranted advice sometimes. I think it's especially hard when it's family, and I've experienced this a lot. Like, my mom and I have a very complex relationship, and because she's my best friend and I Same. Love her so dearly, but she is very involved in my life and wants to have an opinion on everything, and sometimes that can be really overwhelming and anxiety inducing. And so I've, you know, struggled with, you know, back when I was performing full time, the big issue with us was auditions, because I would want to tell her about all the exciting things that I had going on. And like, I'm auditioning for this and I have a callback for this. But then she would cross these boundaries and ask me about them all the time when like, I don't have the feedback yet. And I'm already stressing about not having feedback. And Now she's reminding me and she's like, well, maybe you could reach out to the casting director and da 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 da. Like, and it's just, it's a lot. And so at a certain point, you know, while I was still like auditioning pretty much full time, I told her like, I'm not going to tell you about this anymore. And it was really hurtful for her. But I was like, you've just, you know, proven time and time again that that's a boundary that you continue to cross. And it's hurtful to me. And so I no longer can give you access to that part of my life.
Yeah.
It's really hard to set those boundaries because they're your family. And like, you want them to support you and you want them to love you and be there for you. And you want their advice too. Like, you really value it.
And also like, how lucky to have the relationships that we do with our moms. Mm-hmm. So it's easy to abuse it in that sense of like never knowing when to stop for yourself or for them. And I find for my relationship with my mom, because she's also my best friend and she's definitely listening to this, is setting the boundary for them with the amount that you put onto them. Like, mm-hmm. I go to her for literally everything and anything, and I've actually had to start like setting that boundary with myself of like, okay, she can only handle so much too. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't be putting every single thing on my mom. And that's something I feel like is also really important about just maturing and growing up too, is like realizing she has capacities of her own too that, you know, I can surpass with how much I dump on her. So yeah, in the same way that you set boundaries for yourself, like acknowledging the people around you of like, hey, I should be setting this with their best interest in mind.
Yeah. That's something I was trying to take into account actually, like with a lot of my friendships over the past couple months while I was going through my breakup. I was like, not everybody needs to know about every single night that I cried myself to sleep.
Yeah.
Sometimes like when people love you very dearly, it's hard for them to hear about those things.
Yeah.
And you know, unless it's like a dire thing that you need advice on or something, you know, like not everybody needs to know all the intimate details of your life. So kind of like wrapping this all up with a little bow, I think one of the biggest things that you can do to help yourself stick to boundaries is kind of writing out scripts for yourself on how to say no without feeling guilty. Scripting out like how to let a man know that he's disrespecting you and you're not going to stand for it.
My favorite.
And to be completely honest, I use ChatGPT for a lot of this. Yeah. Chat is my BFF.
Same.
And I think that there's a way to like be crafty about it. Like use chat for an idea of what to say, because sometimes you're like, I don't even know where to begin with this. And they'll give you a good format, but make it your own, because it's very obvious when you send a text that was written by ChatGPT. Literally, my ex, like, in our breakup conversations over text, was like sending me like the long dashes. I was like, bitch, you didn't even try to make this like sound personal. So yeah, use it as an outline, but you know, if you are struggling with where to start on these scripts, I think that that's a good place to start. And just reminding yourself that saying no to others is sometimes saying yes to yourself, and the right people are going to respect your boundaries. You're not going to push away people that deserve to be in your life.
All it's going to do is create a deeper amount of respect you have for yourself and for the people around you have for you, which is hot.
Hot girls have boundaries.
All right, let's round out with our affirmations, shall we?
Everybody take a deep inhale in through the nose. And exhale out on a sigh.
My affirmation for you all and for myself is, I trust the timing of my life and I'm right where I'm meant to be. I posted a TikTok last week that was like, my self 5, 10, 20, 30 years from now would tell me to chill the fuck out. And just enjoy the fact that I don't have everything figured out yet and I don't know what's happening next in a lot of respects. That is what makes life exciting and interesting. And if we knew everything that was going to happen, what's the point? So trusting the timing that the things that you want to attract are going to come to you when it is the right time.
My affirmation is, my energy attracts aligned people and opportunities. And I feel like this goes with the theme of this week. You're gonna attract what you put out. And so if you put out an aura of self-respect and somebody who is like so firm and so unshakable in who you are and what you will accept from others, then that's what you're going to receive. As far as romantic partners, friendships, career opportunities, things are gonna like flock to you if you believe that you're worthy of them.
Well, y'all. Whew, that was a thick one.
That was we laid that one on thick.
And you know what?
As it should be. We got a lot to say on this boundary show.
All right, well.
We'll see you next week. I'll be fresh out of Miami. I wish I would be getting some sun, but it's going to rain the entire time I'm there.
Oh no. Well, I'm excited for you to get away, and I will be back from my Short King date.
Unless you guys can talk her out of it. You have like literally 10 hours.
You have 10 hours. So work your magic.
All right. We'll see you on the flip side. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Fit Happens. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review.
You can follow us on Instagram at Fit Happens Podcast for a behind-the-scenes look into our show.
See you next week!